Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
There was excitement when I came, and then like I even cried the first time after because I was like, I have to end the podcast.
Wait, how good? I gotta know, how good was it?
It was must have so been like fucking great. I think it was like 6 times the first time. It was so wild, and then I was sobbing.
Boy, they created a monster.
Yeah, I'm disgusting now. No.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
And my son is a stand-up comic and a Buddhist clown.
Together, we chat about sex. Mother, why do we do it?
We want to break down the barriers of what people talk about.
Our hope is that this will increase our knowledge about sex, decrease sexual shame, stigma.
And stains.
And stains. And have a laugh while we do it. This episode in particular, you'll have a laugh and you will learn. We are very pumped to have on 2 very special guests. We have Remy Casimir and her sister, Charlotte Casimir, the hosts of the How Come podcast. They are based in New York. They're comedians.
I loved it. I thought these girls were a riot, and I think we had a really good time, and I think the listeners are going to not believe some of the stuff that they're going to hear.
So here's the skinny. How do you like that?
Oh, the skinny.
The skinny.
Let's hear the skinny.
Basically, Remy couldn't. She never orgasmed until the age of 28.
She masturbated, though. That's the key.
And she was pretty confused by this. So she decided to create a podcast called How Come, C-U-M, to find out why she was not orgasming and how come.
And then she learned some techniques and she eventually came.
That is correct.
Spoiler alert.
You know, listen, I've been with a few women in my life. where it's taken longer than they wanted for them to actually experience orgasm. Not necessarily because of my ineptitude, but just because there are a lot of reasons why it might take longer for people to orgasm.
It could be really bad techniques. But the bottom line is that involves communicating.
And we talk about the factors that would prevent someone from orgasming. We also talk about tips. And how to achieve orgasm and improve your orgasm.
And they give 6 major tips, which I approve of.
Yes.
I got the mom seal of approval on the tips.
So here's my hope. My hope is that for you wonderful listener, if it takes you longer than you'd like to come, then this might give you some tips on how to make it faster or stronger. If you're very happy with your coming, but maybe you're with a partner or you're dating around and you might experience partners who take longer to come, this might give you a little understanding for what they're experiencing, why they're experiencing it, and hopefully improve your compassion for that situation.
Because there's a lot of pressure, and a lot of people don't want to take the time. And I really think people put way too much importance on it as well.
Yeah. As everyone knows, coming has never been a problem for me.
Especially fast coming.
Yes.
You're like quick draw McGaw.
Yes. So thank you, Mom. We also recorded an awesome bonus episode with these two.
Well, in which we call, at my suggestion, their father.
Of course.
And I love the father's a doctor, a very prestigious doctor, it sounds like, in New York. And he starts going off in doctor lingo about how proud he is of his daughters for putting the podcast together.
It's so cute.
And then I decided we're in a time crunch here. So for our patrons, we're going to do this bonus episode. I'm just going to get right to the punch and I go right at it.
You do. You cut him off and you start asking about his sex life.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a second. Let's talk about you here. So anyway, I'm not going to give anything else away. There's some really good stuff in the Patreon bonus episode as well as the actual podcast.
So if you want to hear that bonus episode, go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
And join.
And join.
Well, but what if people don't know what Patreon is?
They know what it is at this point. We talk about it every goddamn episode.
Well, I'm going to just say it real quickly.
Mom, no.
Okay.
We talk too much about this.
All right. Go look at patreon.com/sextalkwithmom and find out for yourself how you can help join in our journey.
I'm cutting this.
No, you're not cutting this. Do not cut it.
Why do you have to spend so much time on this?
Well, you're taking more time. I could have been done with it already, but you arguing about me talking about it. So let's move on to the next subject.
The next subject is we're curious about your tips on how to improve orgasm. We love when we hear from you guys. And so if you have any tips on how to strengthen your orgasm or come more quickly or readily, send us your thoughts at Yes Text Mom. That's our phone number that you can text us your thoughts or leave us a voicemail, and we will play them on our Monday morning after show.
Cam, do you have any tips that would make the woman come faster?
Yes.
What? Why are you laughing?
I think that whoever the woman's partner is needs to take up playing the didgeridoo.
What?
And play
that
it for
thing
them.
That you brought from. Oh my God, this is unbelievable. This is what it is. You think you're like the master at.
I'm just saying that's an aphrodisiac. It's an aphrodisiac.
Wait, how is that an aphrodisiac?
You start playing that didgeridoo. For those who don't know, the didgeridoo is an Aboriginal instrument played by the Australian Aborigines. And it's a hollow piece of
bamboo.
Wood. It could be bamboo, but it also could be eucalyptus. But it's hollowed out by termites, and it creates a wonderful drone sound when you play it.
It sounds like you're farting, actually. That's what it sounded like when you played it for me.
I came back from Australia and immediately picked up two didgeridoos because I thought this was a phenomenal
not just one
instrument.
But two.
Yes. And I have to give one to my friend as a holiday gift, but I'm very tempted to just keep it for myself.
But anyway, so you feel that by you mastering the art of the didgeridoo that you are now a better giver of cunnilingus? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. I just think the sound of the didgeridoo is an immediate turn on.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do.
Like that's your version of a saxophone?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Also, on the Howard Stern show.
By the way, it's not a turn on at all.
Remember in the Howard Stern show, he would have women like put the speaker, like they sit on their speaker, and then he would like go in a really low voice and be like, oh, this is a very similar sound to the didgeridoo.
Howard Stern's voice?
When he goes into a lower register like that.
Okay. Anyway.
Do you disagree?
I don't know where you're going with this, but I think that your didgeridoo has gotten you a little too much oxygen to the brain or something. I don't know why you feel like this would make you a better lover, and I don't actually think any woman would.
I think it's an immediate turn on.
I think that you need to find someone who's really weird.
I think I'm going to bars with my didgeridoo from now on.
What, you think you're going to be like the Pied Piper?
Yes.
Playing your little flute?
It's not so little.
Yeah, it's for those of you who don't know what this
instrument looks
like. Mine
is over 5 feet long.
It's a 5 foot long, like, looks like a wooden stick, and then there's a hole through the middle. I'm surprised that you put your mouth on that, knowing all the germs that were on that.
That's
prior.
How much I enjoy playing the didgeridoo.
You bought a used didgeridoo on top of it.
I cleaned it with tea tree oil.
Okay.
All right. Do you have any a hot tip to improve your orgasm?
Weed.
Of course.
Weed. I'm telling you, they got some good strains these days, and it just like, whoa, it intensifies that sucker.
You're unbelievable.
I literally
think
I had like one of the best orgasms of my life with that weed the other night.
Is this the weed I gave you for
Hanukkah? No, that's for sleep. I use that for sleep.
So I this morning we had a discussion.
You and I?
I called you on the phone.
Yes.
And of course you tell me about your sleep. And
well, we always like to know about
because my mother
sleep.
Takes Ambien or Klonopin every fucking night to sleep, which I think is unhealthy.
False.
It's unhealthy.
That is not true. That I don't. That I take one or the other. I usually say sometimes I take both.
Yeah, but it is unhealthy. So for Hanukkah, I bought my mother a vaporizer. Like, what is that? A weed pen?
It's a little weed pen. It's legal here in California.
It said sleep. And so she's been saying she's wanted it. So I got it for Hanukkah. And then you called me this morning. You go, I'm able to sleep through it the whole night without any drugs. And I go, that's phenomenal news. She goes, yeah, that weed pen is incredible. And I go, Mom, that weed pen is drugs. What the fuck are you talking about? She's like, well, it's not Klonopin or Ambien. You're still taking drugs.
It's not really a drug. It's sort of like caffeine, you know, where you drink coffee to wake up in the morning.
That's also a drug.
Okay, so big BFD.
Well, I just you can't say you're not using drugs. You're definitely using drugs. Literally, it's classified as a drug. It's not even legal in a lot of states.
In life, a little message to our listeners. In life, you have to choose. Do you want to be sleep deprived?
Or do you want to be on drugs?
Or do you want to be on drugs? There's no happy medium there.
Okay. We've been getting a lot of reviews, by the way, on iTunes. And I so appreciate these. This is the sweetest thing
ever. I so appreciate them as well.
Yeah. There's not a lot of ways we can communicate with you guys. And then this is a phenomenal way. If you'd love to show us some love, this helps us, you know, see what you guys think about the show. And also, it improves our search engine optimization. I'd like to read one.
Please do.
This one is subject line, best podcast ever.
Woo!
5 stars by Jessa Luna. So this person says, this is my favorite podcast. I'm so glad that my friend sent me an episode. I've been hooked ever since. I'm only 31 episodes in and I have learned so much. I've been divorced for 4 years and I'm 36 and dating younger men, and listening to this podcast has certainly helped me in my dating life. I love Karen Lee, but Cam is my favorite.
The nerve.
Oh, yeah.
Jessa,
that's a phenomenal review.
Yeah, because Cam is my favorite.
Yes. I think that's an accurate review.
She got our podcast from someone else, and I think this is what I'd love for our listeners to do. If you guys like either one of us or both of us, preferably both of us, share our podcast with your friends.
I agree. Share it away. That's very helpful for us. Also, Jessica became a patron of ours, so big thank you to her.
Thank you, Jessica. Yeah. And patron is a great way to support us, you guys.
All right. I think we got to let him have the show. We've been talking too much.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the big orgasmies. Woo.
Remy and Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love it here.
Very excited to have you guys here.
We are so happy to have you guys on.
We just did their podcast. We had a phenomenal time. Your podcast is all about coming.
Yes.
It's called How Come.
Yes, or the lack of coming for some people.
Yeah. What made you want to start this podcast?
I had never had an orgasm, and
this is Remy speaking.
Yeah, this is Remy. Hello, everyone. My voice is not much different from my sister,
we'll introduce ourselves.
But
first.
Yeah, Charlotte, my sister here, and I were having a conversation about how she found it difficult to come with people, and I was like, "Well, duh! Like, I've never done that." Like, and she's like, "What? Like, at least I've done it alone." And I was like, "No." You can't do that. Like,
and you were how old?
I was 28. This
oh
is
my
like
God.
The full
well, that conversation was years ago.
Was a year. Yeah. But we'd been talking about it, and then as I started stand up, I would see, because I for some reason I just really didn't think women could come or. Yeah, if they did, it was like these women like Samantha Jones on Sex and the City who like they get penetrated and then they're like, oh, and you're like, oh, that's sex. or it's just all the stand up I was seeing. Oh, women don't come. Women don't like having sex and like sit.
She has a headache.
Yeah, she has a headache. She goes, oh, take an Advil and pretend you don't want to kill yourself. I was like, okay, yeah, so women aren't coming. That's just something we deal with. We have sex, like, because it's fun, but also it's mostly for guys.
Your mom never talked to you about masturbating?
No. She told us that sex was supposed to be fun, but she didn't say it's supposed to culminate in something, you know,
I don't think an I ever had any talk, really. I kind of just
Well, you
got
trickle
from
down
you.
From me.
Yeah,
which I think is unfair for a younger child, but I wasn't getting like the best sex talk anyway.
Well, that's the weirdest part though. I thought she had been coming and had like the best sex life because she was so much more like developed and more advanced than I was.
Okay, so she's the older sister, and you've got two older siblings.
We've got three, two older brothers.
Four
too.
You guys.
Yeah. Well, I have three, yeah, because I'm the youngest, but she was the one who had me get my first vibrator. And so I had no idea that it wasn't happening for her. I always assumed it had been.
Yeah, no, I was just trying everything. And then when she said that she did, and when all these other female comics that I was friends with were saying that they did, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll get some tips from these people. And most of the tips were just try harder for longer. And I'd give up, and Charlotte would be like, you're a lazy masturbator. And I'd be like, oh, you're right. But
I am astounded.
You
never just like experimented one day in the bathtub
all the time.
And it just give up
all the time. And I would just give up because I'd be like, okay, like nothing's really happening. Like it's been 15 minutes or like, I didn't know really the techniques. First of all, I thought fingering, like if you just finger blast yourself, that was supposed to be a thing. I didn't believe how important the clitoris was.
Were you watching porn?
No, I would only watch porn in a kind of like,
Analytical way.
Yeah. Like with my friends, if somebody was like, oh, have you seen Two Girls, One Cup or something like that? Like,
like that's not porn.
You're analyzing Two Girls, One Cup.
I never actually watched Two Girls, One Cup, but the other, like I watched Cake Farts. I watched Mr. Hands. I watched all those ones that were like on E-Bam's World that were like
sensational.
They're not porn.
They're sensational, scary.
Yeah. I never watched porn. It was one. So when I started the podcast,
Wait. You skipped ahead.
Sorry.
So you never met. Okay. So you did.
I masturbated a lot.
You masturbated.
It just never.
Just never came.
Like if there was a vibrating razor that came out, I'd be like, cool, I'm going to buy that. And I'm going to use the vibrating end and try and figure shit out. When I was like 13, it just didn't. It wasn't. I'm not a vibration person, really. Now I can be a little bit more vibration, but like it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a thing.
What are the alternatives? Like pulsing?
Suction.
Or suction.
Yeah. Oh, you got the new Lilo.
No, it's called Womanizer, the one that I did.
Ah.
It's the best thing in the world.
And it was like, so when I started the podcast, I was like, this will be a good way to hold myself accountable. I won't be a lazy masturbator. And people would come on and they'd give me assignments to do for the next week that I had to complete to hopefully come. One of them was watch porn. One of them was like, go to this tantric sex healer. One of them was like a female masturbation class, like all these things that I was trying. And then separately, my friend told me on another podcast, he's like, my friend who never came before used a womanizer. And then I used that and I was like,
done deal.
This is so hilarious. So you can't come. So you start a podcast. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, it's just like most people start podcasts.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. She's doing a whole experiment to find out how to come.
I understand that, but it's not like the usual research way of doing things. Okay.
No, definitely
can't come.
Not.
Let's start a podcast.
But that's what was annoying too. Like, or like just from a production standpoint, because like a lot of it was emotional labor that I'd be like, okay, we have to like schedule the podcast. And then I literally have to like sit in a room and masturbate for 30 minutes and then cry because it's not working. Like it was very, I was very scared that like I was broken and it would never happen and stuff. But I also was like, there's probably other people out there. That
feel
like
Jupiter
this.
Slut.
Yes.
We did a podcast episode with someone who also had some issues with the whole trauma and masturbating. And she ended up doing an entire year of masturbating on camera, actually.
Because she'd gone through her whole life never masturbating because of shame from her religious background. And she became like a popular vlogger.
Wow. Very popular vlogger. For her, you should check her
that's
out.
Sick. Yeah. Some
very
people are always like,
you.
Oh, so the episode that you came on, we can hear you coming. I'm like, no, like I'm a comic, but that's an interesting idea for a podcast too.
We have had someone come on our show.
Really?
A phone sex operator. And that is the most awkward episode we've ever done.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because the two of us were watching her. Well,
we were listening.
We were actually watching her.
We were watching each other. We were watching. Which was even more uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I was living in Chicago. Where were you? In California or New York? And we were watching each other and listening
Skype.
To a phone sex operator decide. That's because you instigated that.
She mentioned how she comes on every show, every podcast.
But she's
she goes
really
on.
Coming?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It was so
what
intense.
What is she saying? Is she like being sexy with you guys?
It was like a
and
weird.
And then she goes, Cam, are you ready? And I'm like,
oh my God.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess.
And I was not. Yeah, it was icky. I mean,
and then it was like an animal.
Yeah, it was really awkward.
It was icky?
It was icky for me. I mean, it's weird because we could talk about everything, but
Well, there's something about sound too. Like I was on my friend's podcast and him and I listened to an ASMR video of someone eating pasta and we had our legs crossed so tight. And afterwards he goes, that was worse than if we kissed. And I was like, I know, it was terrible.
That is hilarious. Well, I love that you started this podcast for this purpose.
Me too. My life is so much better now.
Okay, so I have so many questions.
Do you masturbate like all the
like
time?
A dog. Like a dog.
Making up for lost time.
Literally. We have to make up a phrase because we keep being like, oh yeah, we're in my adolescent boy phase. But really, it's just like my self-discovery phase.
Your awakening.
I always joke that it takes me 6 hours. It's not even a joke to edit every episode of my podcast because I get like horned up and then I'll start masturbating and like take a break and I go back. Yeah.
I'm adding a segment to the show. I was thinking about doing it for this one.
Really?
Where I'm going to have a bell in the middle of our of this little area. Mm-hmm. And anytime someone gets aroused, they have to hit the bell. What do you think of that?
Totally, we should do that.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Ding,
so
ding,
that
ding.
Will be a new thing.
I'm aroused right now hearing that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, because how I never say when I'm aroused in the moment.
Right.
Like I was pretty aroused during that phone sex operator bit, despite looking at you the whole fucking time. But right. That would have.
Well, that's probably scary to say. It's such an uncomfortable feeling. I'll never forget. I was watching A Knight's Tale in the theater next to my father when I was like 12, and Heath Ledger was just doing all the right stuff to me. And I like looked at my dad and I was like horrified. I was like, I can't believe like I have this boner while my father is next to me. Like,
terrifying. So you recognize that you were getting aroused. You just couldn't actually have the orgasm.
That's why I was like, oh, I have clout to start this podcast because I have loved sex forever. I've always been like, I was a sexual little girl. Like even with my friends, I'd be like, oh, show me your vagina and see, let's see if we have matching parts. And like, you know,
that
like,
is
discover.
Adorable.
And like, I used to like scissor with my friends when I was like six. Like it wasn't for lack of trying. It was just for lack of really, I think, general knowledge out there in the world, too. There weren't suction devices that existed. There wasn't, like, even, I'm 29 now. When I was 8, 1998 is when they discovered the internal structure of the clitoris.
With the G-spot.
That is nuts. Yeah. That is fucking crazy.
What's crazy is they don't even think there is a G-spot. It just
moves around
of your
because
clit,
wherever your body inside. Is. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay, wait. So do you know a photo of it? It's wild.
No, but also I'll show you. Like, you know how we think that it's like that little nub.
Like the way she does it. I'll show you.
I'll show you, podcast. There's a little nub that on the front or whatever, but then it actually goes back and then it's got these nice little, looks like a man on a horse, like little saddle legs around the vagina.
Oh, wow.
And so even an internal orgasm is technically a clitoral orgasm because it's touching your clitoris from the sides of the walls.
Yeah. Whoa.
So some women's just aren't as close to their sides.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's all individual.
It's
completely different on everybody.
So have you come to a conclusion as to why it took you so long why it's necessary to have suction?
I think it was necessary because it really didn't give me the option to not come.
I think you need to explain to our listeners what are you talking about with suction.
Okay, so the womanizer it's like a little Dyson vacuum for your vagina.
Yeah.
I hope you were sponsored by them at this point.
We have been at different times, but now there's other toys that are a little more affordable that sponsor us because not every person is down to shell out
like $200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a sex toy. I think both camps are great. But either way, it uses like a suction technology and it feels like kind of someone's either sucking or licking, depending.
Yeah.
But it's great.
You know, it's
and
funny.
They're beautiful.
It's really wonderful.
This is where everyone is so unique. I always say that every vagina is like a snowflake. Mm-hmm. I mean, and every clitoris, whatever. It's as different as guys' penis sizes and shapes and everything else.
Because didn't you tell me that suction technology
does
not work for you?
So that's what I was going to say is that I tried, I think, what's the Lilo version of that? The Sona?
Oh, yeah, the Sona.
Yeah, you can get 15% off if you mention Karen Lee 15. Just saying. At Lilo. That was so intense for me that I couldn't. It just was too much.
Yeah. But that's
but a little tiny, like little, almost like a bullet vibrator can get me off. Mm-hmm. So it really depends. And I don't want any woman listening to this saying, I'm there's something wrong with me because I can't have an orgasm during sex.
Right.
nobody can have an orgasm during sex alone unless something
only
clitoral.
8 to 25% of women.
Yeah.
And that's if they're just vaginal penetration.
Right. But that is most likely because it's they're still manipulating somewhere.
Yeah.
Their body so that it gets stroked somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, either internally or they are able to position themselves in that position. So don't feel bad if you can't have an orgasm during sex because most people can't.
And if you're like, oh my God, the womanizer was guaranteed for Remy. It didn't work for me. Find something else. Just keep trying other stuff. Because a lot of people, it was sad. There was excitement when I came. And then, like, I even cried the first time after because I was like, I have to end the podcast.
Wait, how good? I got to know. How good was it?
It must have been, like, mind-boggling. Great. I think it was, like, 6 times the first time. It was so wild. And then I was sobbing.
Boy, they created a monster.
Yeah, I'm disgusting now. No,
Does it take you longer? No,
I've gotten better at doing it in other ways because it's completely lifted this mental block of, like, a lot of people would be like, oh, you haven't done it yet. And like, you're pretty decent. Like, we know that you're pretty decent at sex and like, you're pretty experimental. And like, that doesn't make sense. Like, it must be a psychological thing. And then I'd immediately jump to like the darkest place. And I'd be like, oh, I'm fucked up. I've got like stuff that needs to be unpacked. And like, nah, like there's some fantasy. I have to dress up as like a grape. I don't know. and then the second it happened, I was like, it was mechanical. It was
it's mental in a way that like just like any sort of thing. Like if you don't let go, it's not going to happen. You're just stressed out. Yeah. So once mental. You broke that barrier, it's like,
yeah, then there was one day that my womanizer was dead and my,
so upset.
I know. And I hadn't left my other one at my boyfriend's house. And all I had was this little vibrator that Unbound had given me. And I was like, I could do this now because I know myself more. And I used it and I did it and it was great. And so now it's like opened a floodgate.
You're liberated.
Yeah. And I have had so many guys be like, well, you shouldn't use sex toys because then they desensitize you.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Bullshit. Everything, like the more orgasms you have as a woman, the more you can, and as a man.
Yeah.
The more you train, the better you are.
This is pretty interesting.
You got like a marathon thing going on.
Exactly.
When you say that, like, oh, now I know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It seems like there is an active conscious event that's going on in your brain that's like, okay, I'm going over the hump or something like this.
Speaking of that, do you use the womanizer when you're having sex? When you're on top?
On top is harder. It's more like doggy.
Okay.
Or on the side, like laying on the side, because then no one has to do any work.
Does your partner is he cool with that?
Yeah, he loves it. It makes his job easier.
Oh, yeah. God,
some guys get like all emotional about it. And I can't do it alone.
That's like because what she was saying, that some people say you shouldn't use vibrators because it desensitizes you. It's just it's a macho thing of insecure men.
Yeah. And with the womanizer, what I found really awesome and like super different from vibrators was I was afraid of that like desensitizing thing. And I did get in my head, I think, with my boyfriend at the time when we were like last year, and I needed this vibrator to like come with him. And then I tried the womanizer and I feel like it, like you're saying, like trains you to come. Mm-hmm. Like you get more used to it and your body gets more comfortable and acclimated to it. So like having orgasms just gets easier rather than like requiring something.
Mm-hmm. Cameron, like now, like you've got that sponsor.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to talk to womanizer.
They're great. Yeah. They're really great.
So did you, so in your finale to last season, I heard you had an internal, it was your first internal.
Yeah.
Did you feel pressure leading up to that? You should be like, oh, this is the finale. Something incredible has to happen.
No, that was a really happy coincidence. because after I was on Netflix, that company Sweet Vibrations reached out, and I hope they don't listen to this because it's whatever, but they reached out and they were like, yeah, we'd love to send you some toys and stuff and maybe sponsor you. And I was like, I'll just take the toys and then I'll maybe sponsor whatever. And then I used it and I was like, holy shit, I've never had an internal before. And so I was kind of like weaseling with them. I was like, yeah, you can sponsor us and stuff. But then I was going to talk about it anyway because it was such an interesting experience.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah. But now I love them.
They're great.
They're amazing. They're great. Yeah. They're great sponsors.
That is awesome. I love that you guys are able to talk about your sex lives together.
Think we'll compare our tits sometimes. I'll be like,
she was like, ours look alike. I was like, no.
Wait, how many years apart are you guys?
Three and a half.
Okay.
Was it ever awkward? Was there, or just always growing up, you guys
I've been a little, my nickname was Nudist out of our family. Like, we had Skippy, Spanky, Nudist, and Chewy.
You're Chewy?
Yeah.
I have fat face.
And Nudist.
What?
She was a little fat face. It was so cute.
Chewy.
The cutest child.
Chewbacca, pinchy,
yeah,
squishy.
But Nudist came from, I just loved being nude. I would wake up every morning.
I love being nude.
If we were in Long Island or something, I'd go out and I'd be naked. I'd pick berries. I'd sit on them. I'd whatever. Like,
she was always very comfortable.
Just very comfortable. And then I developed really, really early. So and I was very proud of myself. And I'd run around the house. I'd be like, look at these
and
boobs.
The jiggly.
In front
jiggly.
Of your older yeah. brothers.
That. Yeah, I even wanted to like show my brothers. Like, I had this like weird triangle cotton bra. It was like not for girls with boobs. It was for girls with little like mosquito bites. But I came out and I was like, witness me. Like, I'm an adult now. And yeah.
I think I'm kind of like, not the polar opposite.
You were the opposite. Yeah.
I mean, I'm very comfortable talking about sex and all that now, but when I was younger, I was definitely the polar opposite. Like, I didn't even like to change in front of people when I was in middle school because, like, I think she developed really early and I was very, very late.
I used to try and get her hormonal milk because I thought that's what spurred it on for me.
That's adorable.
And I was so sad.
Like, take it like contraband. I'd be like, come on.
But I was like, I'm not a woman. I was like so ashamed of myself. My mom like laughs about it to this day. She'll be like,
what?
Yeah, because I would sob. I'd be like, I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
And I was like 14 or something. I didn't have boobs yet.
I was just like you.
Yeah.
I was the same thing. I was 15 before I got my period.
Exactly. But it's so frustrating because I was very sexually inclined. I just felt like my body wasn't matching. So
she was sexually attracted to Axl Rose at 9.
I mean, I was married at 3. On a beach.
That's true. Not, that's true.
I was like crawling out of the womb attracted to people, but like, I guess I didn't really act on it or anything. And I remember being 12 and all my friends are making out on the bus and talking about, what floor do you live on? 32C. I was like,
no, it's
30 double A.
I wrote in my senior yearbook of how embarrassed I was because I was so flat chested and everybody used to make so much fun of me. And one day I'm sitting in the cafeteria. I was a freshman in high school. And one of our friends, Stan P.
Stan.
Humiliated me. We're sitting at a long table in the cafeteria, boys and girls together. And I was so self-conscious because I had no tits at all. And he comes running through the cafeteria and slams right into me and bites me in the boob.
What? What the fuck, Stan?
And everybody starts laughing. And I was humiliated.
Oh my
God.
That's horrible.
Fuck you, Stan P. Although, looking back, I mean, it did provide me with a good embarrassing moment to write in my yearbook.
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to say who it is because we're still friends and I hope he's learned. But I had a friend of mine come up behind me in high school and flash my tits to everybody at a party.
And he like grabbed your shirt and pulled it up?
Pulled it down.
Oh, wow.
My God.
Yeah.
That's and worse than Stan
I was
P.
like, how dare? They're warm right now. They don't even look good. At least let them get cold first.
But yeah, no, we've always like been very open and talked about everything.
It would be so uncomfortable for me to talk to my sister or my brother. We now live together and we've grown much closer since then. But it would be way more uncomfortable for me growing up to talk to my siblings about their sex lives than it would be to talk to my mother about my sex life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange.
Thank you. I feel good about that.
No, I think it's strange. Huh. My brother also just got mad at me recently for being too nudist around. It was a weird, like, consensual thing.
That's amazing.
He was like, dude, you got to put on clothes. And I'm like, what do you want? I'm about to shower. I just got out of, like, a hot tub.
That is hilarious.
We have a brother where it became a problem because he started, like, the boxer briefs trend. And it showed all the time. And our mom would be like wear a robe or pants or something. Like, there are young girls in the house.
You know, that would be another good topic because I'm telling you, my sister had her kids running around naked in front of her till they were like 13. I'm like,
what?
Come on, stop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am kind of pro nudity in the house. I think that I grew up in a house that was like super, you did not like nudity in the house whatsoever.
No, I don't.
I think it creates more body shame. Like I think it took me a long time to get comfortable with my body in front of
me.
In front
you're
of women.
Blaming
of course, because of you.
Oh my God. I mean, I definitely felt shamed by being called nudist. Like from a very young age, being called nudist. Like everyone else had a cute nickname and I
was not cute. I was Chewbacca.
I don't care. Chewy
that's
is cuter
what
than
that comes from.
Nudist. Chewbacca.
Do you remember Beth when you went over to her house?
Yeah. This is a girl who's very comfortable being nude. Mm-hmm. And I would go over. It was my best friend's house.
You were like how old?
7 or something. Mm. And she would come down with like nothing on. Maybe a towel or something.
Yeah. I think it's very individual. I don't think it's ever really about the nudity. I think it's more your own insecurities. Like for her to be nude now is fine. But I was so insecure when I was little that I didn't want to be around nude people because I felt the need to be nude. Mm. And I didn't want to be nude because I was embarrassed.
Well, my friend, like you said, if you felt like you were overweight or underweight or flat chested or too big a busted or whatever, you don't want to show off.
Exactly.
My friend, we used to go to the gym together, and after I never like changing in front of like strangers because I don't want to be like, well, you don't have to look at my body, like you didn't consent to this or whatever. But she would always get, she's one of those Equinox people that would like get totally naked and then lotion up her whole body in front of everybody and just be talking to me, and I'd be like, I don't like this, like I don't know how to say that to you because.
She's now a porn star.
Yeah. And she has such a good body that it's like, I can't not look. But where am I supposed to be looking at you when you're lotioning your boobs in front of me?
And who needs to lotion your boobs at all?
See, but then that's another thing that makes me feel guilty. I'm like, I should be lotioning more.
Yeah. I don't remember the last time I lotioned my boobs except during sex.
I have a confession to make.
You lotion your boobs?
On New Year's, I was wearing a shirt that I rarely wear.
Yeah.
I got it in China. It's very form-fitting. It was like tailored to me. Uh-huh. And this is what I would, anyway, it was so tight and I guess it was so dry. I chafed the shit out of my boobs. I would literally,
did
my
you put
nipples
Uber
were bleeding. I swear to God.
This is amazing because you always hear about that and I've never had anyone talk about it.
That's my
but
excuse
real.
For never running. I'm like, nah, I hear marathon runners chafe. I'm not going to run down the block, thanks.
You should put some lube on that.
I put Vaseline all over. I didn't have Uber lube on at the time.
That's the new. Lube. You could put your weed in there. You could put some lube on that.
Yeah.
We should have a shirt that says, put some lube on it.
Put some lube on everything.
So why do you think the orgasm is so important? Like, why is it worth discussing in every week almost?
You're very eloquent in discussing this because though I've had them, like, I just think it's an empowering thing. Like, especially being able to orgasm alone. Like, I always used to put so much stock in, I have to find a man and he has to be the right man.
Hell no.
And he's going to be the sex or the more sexual one and he's going to do stuff to figure me out. No.
There's no magic penis.
There's no magic penis, but also like just knowing that you don't need to go find another person and you can have sexual fulfillment by yourself is the biggest relief of my life.
Wow.
Like if you had told me in sex ed, hey, Remy, did you know that you could never have sex with a guy and have orgasms like every day? I'd be like, oh, sick. I'm not worried about anything. Like it used to just be like, I need to get good at sex because that's what, like, no, you need to get good at,
like, be comfortable with your
becoming,
body.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were all talking about earlier was listening to old episodes and not like identifying
with
ourselves.
That person.
Oh, yeah.
I will listen to the first one and hate it because I really don't recognize myself. I'm like, that person knows nothing. And being a part of this podcast, I feel like we've become so much more comfortable, not just with sex and talking about it, but communicating in general, learning your own body, being more open with people and partners. It really like has to do with every part of life.
Yeah.
And everyone totally has sex. And if you're comfortable speaking up about sex, something that's so private and taboo, I guess,
while
to some people.
You're nude.
Yeah. So
you
vulnerable.
Can speak
you can
up anywhere else.
Literally anywhere. So it really is, it changes your whole life, I think.
It really does. You did say that very eloquently. Exactly.
You asked us an interesting question on your podcast, which was how does the podcast or how do people that you're dating interact with the podcast? Are they cool with it? How would you guys respond to that?
So, I mean, we always say when we meet guys out in the world and they are like, oh, what do you do? The moment we tell them, oh, we run this podcast, you can tell what kind of guy they are, because
it's such a good way either, to meet people.
Yeah, it's like a douchebag deterrent. Because
or it's a douchebag attractant.
Or it incurs, but you know, so you don't have to be like, okay, I'm going to spend the next 9 months of my life educating this fool.
Right.
Like, you can just get out early. I mean, we do want to tell people, but most of the time it's like, the guys who, oh, you have a podcast on the female orgasm? That's so interesting. I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it's not about a lack of knowledge. It's all about how they express their curiosity. I always tell the story, but I was with three guys. They asked me what I did. I told them. One of them just kept asking questions but interrupting every 2 seconds. Like, wait. So you're like, this is like sex. Like, wait, like your sister? Hold on. And this other, like, wouldn't shut the fuck up, like, at all. And this other guy just goes, dude, do you want to learn or not?
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You do need to chill out. Do you want to listen or not?
Yeah.
And like, I do really want to teach people, and it really is for everyone to have a better experience, but it's, some people don't respond the best.
This is what I always think about. Your body is like having a car, right? A really nice Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
If you just handed the Porsche over to someone who'd never driven a Porsche, they would fuck everything up.
Totally.
So you need the owner's manual for your own body and know that manual inside and out, and then communicate that to someone else before you start expecting them to understand how to run that baby.
I love that, mother.
That's so true. Also, what we were talking about, why it's empowering too. It's like a tiny little anecdote I thought was awesome. We did an episode on disability, and one woman who was describing how her whole life is other people helping her, whether it's walking, eating. She's like,
well, she can't walk. She gets wheeled.
I'm saying, like, everything is helped. You know, she can't do it on her own. She's like, when I learned how to come on my own, this amazing thing that I could do by myself was just,
she's
incredible.
Awesome. Her name is Hannah Sawyer. She's done a whole article for Cosmopolitan and stuff about sex and disability. But let's like, she's like, I can't reach my food, but I can reach my vibrator. It's nice.
Yeah.
I always say it makes me feel adult. Like, I was always like thinking like, oh, I'm just going to stay a fucking, especially comics. Like, we're such like little adolescents forever. And then the second I came, I was like, oh, I'll do adult things. I'll pay
taxes.
You're
a woman now.
Like,
it's also the hormonal release is so good for you.
It's better medicine than any, like, I feel so robbed. We always say like guys just found out, not that it's evil guys, but the patriarchy found out how many orgasms we're able to have. And they're like, we don't like that. Let's make them think they can't have any.
Or one is one and done.
Yeah.
I have a personal question for you, given that we're doing similar things.
Yes.
Like, we started as comedians, now suddenly we're in the sex world. Do you ever have doubts being like, wait a minute, I'm spending all my fucking time talking about sex, and it's not necessarily comedy. Like, this is an interesting, like, it can be comedic in nature, this podcast, but it's not necessarily like delivering jokes or like.
Sometimes it gets a little too heavy duty with the sex education is what he's saying.
It is. And like, that's why I liked starting the podcast, because I like, people will be like, well, why do you think you're a good interviewer? I'm like, because I'm really interested. Like, I want to keep learning. And I think it's a difficult thing, because I want to source really great guests, and I want to have every episode be something that somebody can take something away from. And I'm still really curious about everything, but I do want to have a good time. And there are times that I've like made jokes about stuff that people are like, oh, that really offended me. And I'm like, okay, but also like, I'm a comic. Like,
yeah,
but that's get away
where,
with
like,
a lot of stuff.
Our balance comes in too, because like, I came on as at first, like the researcher basically. So you're obviously a comedian. She'd remind me sometimes, like, this is comedy first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I'm coming in from like a very intense research background, being like,
you can't say that.
You can't say this, like, pages of documents basically. And
but you're pretty funny too.
Thank
you.
Oh,
yeah. She's very funny.
Charlotte, you're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Don't cut yourself short.
She's on Twitter. It's great.
I like to write. I'm not in front of the camera person, but like it does get a little heavy, and I'll take the blame for it.
Yeah, it gets a little heavy sometimes.
Yeah,
but there's so many interesting things.
Yeah,
I know.
And it, like, how much better though did you feel at first, thinking you were the only one that this wasn't happening to? And I was like, nope.
I felt
8 to 25% of people, you know, like, yeah, coming.
No, stats were very, we literally opened the show with stats.
Yeah.
Because I wanted people to be very clear, like, this isn't just a smut podcast. Like, I know that there's a lot of podcasts, like, that have become sex positive podcasts, but they maybe started with, like, we're just here to talk about fucking because you want to, or whatever. And it's like,
yeah.
For our listeners, though, I would love to hear from you guys at Yes Text Mom if you have had the same kind of experiences where you just can't come, but you play with yourself a lot and it's very embarrassing. You don't want to tell anybody. Has anybody else had this experience? I bet we're going to get a lot of response on this.
Yeah. Have you guys found out like the main factors that lead people to not being able to come the first time?
This guy.
The brain.
Mm-hmm. It totally is.
Yeah, stress. But even...
Stress.
Yeah.
You're just...
You know
how
you guys were talking about like this sensory deprivation tank?
Yes.
Whatever, and how you got a boner in there, basically, and like your horn.
Ken has a boner everywhere he goes.
I mean, okay? Same. I used to, when we were in health class, and they were like, "Oh yeah, guys get boners sometimes." I'd be like, "Thank God,
I see my little boner." Yeah, I was like, I would have a boner all the time.
Yeah,
it comes up everywhere.
But there's not many people getting to that state of relaxation, and relaxation is so much a part of masturbation. If I think about masturbating when I was younger, a lot of it was done in my parents' house, and they're got the next wall next to me. Like, they're right over there. They could walk in. I've walked in on them before. Like, why wouldn't they be able to walk in on me?
We're gonna have to get to that. Okay.
But like, there was always something in the back of my mind. This is unladylike, or this is weird, or I'm alone, or whatever it is. Like, get your fucking head out of it. Just enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me too, sex has changed so much in the past year from chilling out about it and learning how it's so mental, because I think with some exes, like when we were first talking, it was really hard for me to come with someone because I felt so much pressure to. And there's a lot of, and it's, a guy should absolutely care if a girl finishes and has a good time. But when it's like, did you finish? Are you going to finish? You're just like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out right
worst.
Now. The worst.
Because then that's not even about you.
It's not about you.
It's about them.
It's them feeling.
Did I make, you finish?
Right.
And by the way, no guy makes you come.
No.
You allow him to participate in your orgasm.
He can help you along for sure. But the bottom line is, like, you know, you're the one in charge there.
Definitely.
And you only can come when you're ready to come.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this gets back to what we were saying earlier about, like, it is a conscious activity that you're like, I'm over the hump now, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's so nice to be out of it, because I used to just, like, when I'd be having sex with anyone or masturbating, well, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's never happened before.
And it becomes for
look
them.
At this loser trying to so hard. Like,
and for guys, it's the same for guys.
Yeah.
All my, like, no guy, no, at least, except Brandon Beeble, who just came on the show. Yeah. But very few guys I know.
We had a skateboarder come on the show, and he was definitely into sex.
Yeah. The first times having sex with someone, it's either they can't get it up, or it takes like much longer for them to get up or to get off, or it's just immediate. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that they're like Johnny on the spot, like, fucking hit the button, let's go.
Yeah.
And it is a conscious thing.
And then if it starts going down, like we were talking about this the other day, starts going down, that's all you can think about.
Guys getting their head really badly
and
too.
And then that's, what did you call it? You said dick sand?
Dick sand.
Yeah, like quicksand. Like the more you resist it, the more it goes down.
Your dick's going down. Yeah. Yes. Not coming back.
Sand. Dick sand. Oh my God. Yes. That's hilarious. Yeah. But it's probably worse for guys, I would say, because you have a visual of it.
And it's the saddest visual in the world.
Look at this graph.
No one wants to look at that.
Yeah. It's like, what is this limp dick going on here? This does not work.
And we have to not shame.
No, you know? We have to not shame.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
be
is
nice.
This
happens.
Is what perpetuates the whole fucking thing.
I used to be very bad too, because instead of communicating from like moment one, being like, hey, I hate that, what you're doing, or not, I hate, or hey, I don't like that, I would have or let somebody do something to me for a while, and then by the time I was so fed up, I was like, stop doing that.
It's like that episode of Sex and the City. I don't like that.
Well, but you know, and that's another thing too that's so confusing for men, I think. You may start out wanting it very, very soft and light, and he's like going at it like a jackrabbit. But then later on, you want it like a jackrabbit, and he's like, "Oh, you told me to go light." So it has to be a constant communication during the actual episode of what you like. Definitely.
You have to always be taking inventory too. Are you good? Is this like
now? But sometimes pressure? That's annoying too. I had a guy that constantly was like, is it good? Is it good? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? No, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, literally.
We had a porn star. We interviewed a porn star once.
We interviewed
Derek Pierce.
Oh, yes.
Who said...
Who, Pierce?
Derek Pierce.
Oh, we just had Logan Pierce. How funny. Oh. Yeah.
No. He basically was like, there are ways to say, like, is this good for you? Mm-hmm. That is not, is this good for you?
Yeah,
that
are much sexier. Like, gross.
You watch, you know, as men or as a partner... Be very, very observant just to watch what's
like
happening.
Body language.
With, yeah. The, or just, you know, the one, is she flushing at this point, you know, in her face?
Is her breathing changing? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and is then, she quivering?
And then call it out, being like, oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Like, you're breathing heavily. You Ooh. Must like that or
you're
something.
Learning
like
from
that.
Derek Pierce there, Cam.
Oh, yeah. That was very helpful for me.
We're going to have Derek on again because he was like, guys, it's all about the tease. It's the triangle, nipple. Stay away from the triangle at the beginning. Don't do nipple.
Stay
bitch.
Away from the triangle.
Stay away totally. From it.
Foreplay yes. is everything.
No,
it's such
do
a
everything
bad word.
Else but everything. Nipple,
yeah.
vagina. Do you,
when
nipple,
I
nipple, pussy
had that tantric massage, that's what was so great about it, was it was this full body massage first, and then you incorporate the vagina. But at that point, it doesn't feel like, that's my vagina. It's like, that's right. part of my body. I'm a little nice human being.
No, but it, you know, we were talking about my sex with my husband, and I would always say to him, if you want to, because he was ready to have sex 24/7. I mean, wake me up in the middle of the night. I want to have sex. And I would be like, oh my God, I'm tired. I have three kids. And then, anyway, he would always, I would just say to him, listen, if you could get this in your head, give me a massage, a 5 to 10 minute massage.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. I'll be ready like all the
100%.
Time. Just get that through your head that even though it's massage and the pain in the ass sometimes, do it.
It's so nice.
Funny and so true because I was with someone in the morning. I was sleeping. So of course I'm not there already. I might be sometimes, but I wasn't.
In a dream
sometimes. Yeah. But I wasn't there and he was just trying to bang. And like, you know, when they're like right behind you, like, Nikki,
I'm just going to put my dick here until
like,
you realize.
Yeah. Do you realize? I'm like, I realize.
Yeah.
But first I was like, it's not going to feel good if I'm not ready, obviously. So I was like, can you just hold on? Can you like tickle my back for a second? That's not code for like, take all my back. That's like, that'll get me horned up really fast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't think he realized that. I was like, okay, I'm ready now. Like,
my boyfriend and I
simple.
Do something called baby time, where we literally just lotion up each other's full bodies.
Good idea.
Like we're babies. And we do
idea.
It with Johnson & Johnson's baby time lotion, and it's like so relaxing.
Baby time.
It's
so cute
yeah.
and weird.
And baby time. No, but baby time should just be a minute. It's just a minute to get like lotioned and like feeling like ready
yeah.
for bed. That's like going to sleep baby time. But then we have 5 minutes in heaven where we literally set a timer to make sure that both of us gets 5 minutes, and it could be on any part that you choose. But
oh,
like,
wow.
it's nice. Five.
I do the timer thing too.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you're getting a massage, another person's going to want that same amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I have an issue
and
with
then the,
massages.
Or you could do it by
then.
How
nope.
many songs
but,
are in your.
Yeah.
On your
but I'm always
playlist.
Better at massages. So I don't like giving them because I always get shitty ones.
Then you go second.
Oh,
and you get whatever
you,
smart.
You
yeah.
get
yeah,
yeah. Whatever
I give,
you
what I get.
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. It's
smart.
I
Good
always
tip.
Like to go second because then I'm nude and he's already back there, and I'm like, "You want to bang?" And then we bang.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're on the
and
same
then
wave.
We do.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for our listeners who want to reach orgasm that haven't been able to? Any,
yes,
like,
I would go
tips?
go through the How Come assignments because like they do start off really tame. And then ramp up. And they're
what
like
that?
Stuff that,
is that
like
yours?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like episode one was just lightly graze over your panties for like 20 minutes in like a no nothing room. Don't listen to music like I did because you'll cry. And yeah, and have like the lights off. Second assignment was, what was it? Who referred it
well,
to?
Well, I mean, some of them.
Oh, the second one was watch porn.
Or read a
third erotica. One was look at your vagina while trying to manipulate it and see if it moves because the clitoris does have like little
and it gets bigger
tendencies.
And
yeah,
better.
It can engorge and yeah. you learn about that. Fourth was go to my doctors. So I went to my therapist and I went to my gynecologist to make sure nothing was physically or mentally wrong because I am on antidepressants and SSRIs can inhibit your horniness, but I was still horny, so that was not a problem.
Mm.
And then episode 5, masturbation class and tantric massage. And then episode 6, womanizer.
Look
so,
at that.
You have a whole book there in the writing.
Yeah,
in the making.
Seriously.
But I, you know, interesting about the SSRIs, they do. I was on one once. I forgot how long ago this was. It was years ago when my husband was alive. And I didn't, when I was put on it, it was Paxil. When I was put on it, no one told me that it's going to inhibit my ability to come.
Mm-hmm.
So like my husband's going down for 45 minutes. He's like, what the hell is going on here? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I was enjoying it.
Such a bad feeling though.
But I couldn't
come. What's wrong?
And no one told me that that's what the reason was. Ugh. So maybe that was what you're part of your reasoning.
But it was, I never went off of it at all.
But you've trained yourself with it. So that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very good to know.
What's funny is literally the week after the podcast, I'm sure people talk to you about everything under the sun now because they're like, oh, they talk about it. I can say anything.
Yeah.
Oh, we get texts all the time.
Yeah. One of my best friends ran up to me after his mom actually came up to me after episode one. And she goes, Remy, I can't come anymore because I'm on Klonopin. What do you think? And I was like, I think I haven't even come yet. Why are you talking to me?
Funny. Yeah. Tips, though, I think like a very easy one that's helped me even.
A lot of people.
I was just going to say
that. Sorry. Hey, I'm on that page too, baby.
Yeah. Seriously, and it's don't like smoking, which is the weird thing. It makes me very nervous, except during sex. I think it's like
the best thing. It is the best thing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say this for guys, but if you are nervous or insecure or just a little in your head, having a drink, like a glass of wine, can be super helpful too.
Mm.
Just because you get a little less, I have to come, I need to. And then no one's going to like come.
No,
like,
but weed physiologically, certain weed does.
There's a new strain that came out. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a female orgasm strain.
Yeah.
You did?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What it is. We'll have to look into that.
But literally, our last episode of season one was called Congratulations. And it was girls from around the world calling in about their first time. And I think two of them, weed was involved.
Yeah.
Edibles, or one of them had like a weed mint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've used those.
Yeah.
Well, look at you.
Yeah, you didn't realize.
Weed mint.
Yeah. And people should explore porn. They should watch it. It's not all
definitely
so scary.
Definitely. Well, I think I'm just analytical because I look at it from like a videography's perspective. I'm like, the lighting sucks. And
and I like it when it's like totally not scripted in some like random back alley somewhere. You know, who knows what lighting was used or whatever. Who gives a shit? It's all free stuff on the
Have you ever seen the ones where it's like a taxi cab?
Taxi cab confessions.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on HBO. She
fucking loves this.
Oh my God.
That's a show.
No. That's actually not even porn.
That's
no,
a show.
No. There's fake cab driver porn where it's like he'll take the girl and then he's like, where can I drop you? And she's like, I have no money. Like, want to have sex?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
There's a ton of stuff like that. I still like it even better. Like the casting couch where you can come in and pretend like, you know, she wants to get a job. Well, you're going to have to suck my dick first.
Mm-hmm.
We unfortunately have to wrap it up.
Oh, damn. We're having so much fun with these girls.
We end with the same question. But before we get to that question, I think we should, if you're down, we can go for another 5 to 10 minutes and record a Patreon bonus episode.
Yeah. We want a Patreon
where
we will
ask you our quick fire or rapid fire.
Rapid fire is fun.
Sex questions to get you to know you sexually.
Fire. Yeah.
So our last question is, have you ever walked in on a parent having sex or vice versa?
Yes.
I don't think so. Oh, I called my mom recently accidentally when I was fucking.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. But she didn't hear.
What?
It was like
vagina dialed your mom?
Yeah.
I was like sleeping on my phone. My alarm was next to my head. And then he woke me up with the sex. And all of a sudden I see it like on for 15 seconds. I'm, no.
Oh, my God.
So bad.
Shit.
We have to change the way we phrase that question then.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced sex
with your mom?
With your mom.
And you said yes.
Yes. When I was very young, I had a nightmare and I ran in the room screaming and I ran out screaming too.
Did you know what was happening?
No. We got details.
I saw a lump.
He
was on top and they were both under the covers. And I always thought about that after. I was like, they must have been so hot. Like, that sounds so, like, sweaty.
You're sure they didn't throw those covers up, like, as soon as that doorknob changed?
They probably did. Yeah, I don't know. And then one time I walked in when my dad was in the shower, and I saw his dingle, and I was so crazed by that.
His dingle.
His dingle.
That is hilarious.
You're like, this is scary. I don't want to see this at all.
But what's weird about our family, too, and we've already kind of touched on this, is, like, we're very proud of our genetics and passing things down. So like, I'll be like, oh yeah, like mom, like I think we have the same vagina probably. And like,
ooh, did you ever ask your mom
about orgasms?
Yeah.
She has them.
did it take her longer?
Despite only having one guy, she has them. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think she did it alone though.
Like, I've never had a problem.
Yeah, she's never had a problem. She's really good at running naturally and coming, apparently. So.
Running and coming. Yeah. So yeah.
That's Robin Casimir's book, Running and Coming.
But what do they think about your podcast?
They love it because they are medical people too.
Oh wow.
And because we are so science heavy because of Charlotte, they're into that. And I think honestly it takes the embarrassment off of just being a comic. Mm. Like they've been like as you know, Jewish parents, they're like, where's the money? You're going to basements for free every night. And so this kind of adds a little layer of clout, which I think they like and respect.
I also think mom at least does not know how to listen to a podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh. Most people my age do not know how to turn on a podcast.
She listened to like the first six episodes because she knew it was like important to me. Yeah. And then my dad listened to the episode on body positivity and he was like, there was some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Like, he'll help us even connect with guests sometimes.
Yeah.
Like people were interested in.
Maybe we should call them during our rapid fire episode.
Oh, yeah.
That would be so funny.
All right. We'll say goodbye for now. Listen, tune into our Patreon page, patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. And
find me, Remy Casimir, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Remy Casimir. And then How Come Podcast is also on those platforms. How Come Podcast.
And it's C-U-M, by the way.
C-U-M, yeah. Spell it like an immature little bitch. And I have another podcast, if you like reality shows from Britain. It's called We Really Love Island, and you essentially just binge with us. And yeah, and then you can find Charlotte online, too.
Yeah, you can find me, Charlotte, at Sharkastic on Twitter and Instagram.
I love that name.
Thank you.
And that'll be in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having us.
This was so fun.
And you came all the way from New York here to California.
Just for you guys.
That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.